Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. The song "You Can't Always Get What You Want" by the Rolling Stones was played repeatedly on the public address system last Saturday at Donald Trump's rally in Rothschild, a rally in which thousands of people were turned away at the door after the meeting room reached capacity. The song choice was prophetic as Trump lost big to Senator Ted Cruz, dashing his hopes of a quick resolution to the Republican presidential primary. I'm Glenn Moberg, and today on Route 51, you'll hear from Trump and Cruz and also John Kasich, Hillary Clinton, and Tuesday's Democratic Party winner Bernie Sanders, all recorded at campaign events in Wisconsin as we discuss Tuesday's primary results with two of our favorite analysts. Joining us by phone, Republican Kevin Hermaning, and here in the studio, Democrat Christine Bremer Moogley. We'll also talk about the state Supreme Court election. And we'll hear from you if you'd like. Just call us at 1-800-780-9742 or put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page, and I'll read it live on the air. And we want to thank both of you, Kevin and Christine, for making yourselves available today. Kevin, we're going to start with you. Give us your general impressions of Tuesday's election results.
Well, I think it's pretty clear that the winners in the state of Wisconsin at large, at least, included Governor Scott Walker, some of the outside money that came in to support Ted Cruz, of course, Scott Walker, because he came out not too early, but nonetheless early enough to endorse Ted Cruz, Senator Cruz from Texas, to win the Wisconsin primary. Certainly Rebecca Bradley, who has already been on the Supreme Court for a few months, now elected to a full, 10-year term. And certainly at least the short-term losers might include, maybe not in our local geographic and listening area, it's Senator Jimmy Boy Edming, who endorsed Donald Trump. But
Trump ended up winning North Central Wisconsin.
Yes, he did, and that's my point. So he, in the geographic area, Northwoods, he certainly was on the right side of that. So he called it for his area. It was interesting in the newspaper, or I guess in the news the last few, maybe 8 days or so, Jimmy Boy Edming was described as the only Wisconsin legislator. And I'm guessing that who endorsed Donald Trump, but I'm guessing that they were only referring to Wisconsin legislators because, of course, publicly, U.S. Congressman Reed Ribble, who's exiting the House of Representatives, came out and endorsed him, I believe, Friday or Saturday.
Reed Ribble endorsed Trump. This is the first I've heard of that.
Oh, you did not know that?
No,
yes,
I didn't.
True. Yes, sir.
Well, Christine, you're a Hillary Clinton supporter and also what is known as a super delegate. Explain that to us. And also explain what problems the Sanders victory in Wisconsin poses for your side.
Well, it's fun. First, Glenn, I want to thank you for having me on. I finally caught up on my sleep after being up a late night the other night to watch these results. I was really very involved with the Supreme Court election. I know we'll talk about that later. But, this was quite an election for us. Normally, when the party out of power comes to a primary, they really have the lion's share of the vote. 73% of Democrats took the vote in 2008 in that primary because George Bush was in office. So this time it was more evenly split. It wasn't a huge blowout, but it was a 100,000 vote advantage. So that was a big deal, I think, for this election, especially because we paired a nonpartisan with a partisan election. It was a very unusual situation.
Right.
But I think that we have to really hand it to Bernie Sanders for coming in and spending a lot of money and a lot of time in our state and really energizing the base of Democrats, because we had a huge turnout for Democrats this time. And although we didn't have the majority of the votes, we had over 1 million votes of Democrats that came out, and they responded to a message of economic inequality trying to be rectified and recognized in our country that Bernie Sanders really brought very eloquently to the table. So I really hand it to Senator Sanders for, you know, electrifying the Wisconsin electorate.
Well, you are a superdelegate. You are pledged to Hillary Clinton, and a lot of Bernie Sanders supporters say because Wisconsin went to him, you should be changing your affiliation and voting for Bernie Sanders.
Well, you know, I've heard that. I've had a lot of calls and a lot of people contacting me. It's interesting. You know, I've been in the trenches in the Democratic Party for very, very many years. I was raised a Democrat. No, never enough. You got to come over now.
That was not a shot related to age at all. It was simply you're on the wrong side, that's all.
Well, you know, when I heard you make that comment about outside money, I thought you were coming over. But anyway, on my side, I thought that, you know, I've been in the trenches as Kevin has been on his side. And I was honored to be elected to be a representative to the Democratic National Committee in 2008. And that brought along a lot of responsibility. But, you know, I never really got to play my role as a superdelegate because we didn't have a fight in 2012. We just, you know, put forward our president, who obviously won. But now I've got superpowers, and I think Glenn wondered where my Supergirl T-shirt was when I came in.
Or at least Wonder Woman.
Yeah, Wonder Woman, yeah. But, you know, the point of a superdelegate is really interesting, and it really comes to the forefront right now, because the reason that we have superdelegates in the Democratic Party is preserve party unity. So, you know, although there are a number of superdelegates now pledged to Hillary Clinton, as am I, and have been for almost over a year, that does not mean that all the superdelegates will automatically go to Hillary Clinton. The point of the superdelegates is to preserve party unity so that at our convention, at our nominating convention this summer, whomever has the most pledged delegates will likely get the superdelegates vote as well, just as they did when Barack Obama ran against Hillary. You might remember in 2008, I was there on the floor, and I was a regular old pledged delegate to Barack Obama, and the superdelegates held for Hillary Clinton until the very end, and when it was evident that Barack Obama had more pledged delegates, all the superdelegates went over to him. So that's what we expect.
So you're saying that if Sanders somehow gets more pledged delegates, you expect those superdelegates to switch before the convention?
That's the role of the superdelegates, and yes, I do. In our case, in our state, our leader, Martha Lanning, who's head of the Democratic Party, has indicated that. And I believe that if there was some way that Bernie Sanders was able to get more pledged delegates through elections in the primaries, that the superdelegates will follow that and bring together the party so that we can win.
Now, I have heard today that despite Sanders' victory, Hillary Clinton could get just as many delegates from Wisconsin if the 10 superdelegates, if all of you all side with Hillary Clinton. Is that correct?
That's right. It's 48. I think it's 36-46. And right now there are 6 pledged delegates to Hillary Clinton in Wisconsin. So, you know, Wisconsin and all the rest of the states that have primaries are proportional. So delegates are awarded on a proportional basis, not a winner takes all. So in this primary, although Bernie Sanders won because of proportional representation and because of 6 pledged delegates, if those 6 pledged superdelegates stick with her, it will just be 6 points apart.
Kevin Hermaning, what do you think the chances are that Donald Trump will be able to get the delegates he needs before the convention in Cleveland, and what are the chances that you're going to have a contested convention? Kevin, you there? We seem to have lost Kevin Hermaning. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do. We are going to play a tape right now of Ted Cruz, who appeared in Wisconsin. This was a rally Sunday in Green Bay. So let's listen to him recorded by Wisconsin Public Radio's Patty Murray, and we'll try to hook up with Kevin Hermaning in the meantime.
And thank God for Governor Scott Walker. This man is a leader, and this man is a fighter. And both of those are in short supply. Let me tell you, when Scott Walker stood up and took on the union bosses of the public employee unions, and when the result was ugliness and nastiness and threats and attacks and yells and jeers, millions of men and women from Wisconsin stood by his side, stood side by side. And that battle that y'all stood together, it inspired people all across this country. It inspired me. That when we stand together as we the people, we can beat the special interests that are bankrupt in our country. You want to turn the economy around. You want to unleash the economy. Take the boot of the federal government off the back of the necks of small businesses. If I'm elected president, we will repeal every word of Obamacare. It's the biggest job killer in America, and we're going to replace it with common sense health care reform that makes health insurance personal and portable and affordable and keeps government from getting in between us and our doctors.
And that is Senator Ted Cruz appearing at a campaign rally in Green Bay, recorded by our own Patty Murray. Christine Bremer-Moogley, Cruz started his speech with "God bless Scott Walker." Apparently, he has a lot to say about Scott Walker and his role in helping him solidify his support in the state of Wisconsin.
Well, and I think he should thank Scott Walker, because without Scott Walker and the huge amounts of money that came with his support that Scott Walker brought with him, I don't think Cruz would have won. You know, this is a guy that even our governor, Tommy Thompson, was against, and he questioned Walker's reasoning for supporting him. He said, well, maybe Walker's supporting Cruz because Cruz is going to help him pay back his campaign debt, or maybe he's going to get some kind of position in the party. So when Tommy Thompson questions Walker's reasoning, I think that's really something for the Republicans. I have to say, though, Glenn, when we've got a guy who wants to overturn same-sex marriage rules, he wants to privatize partially Social Security and increase the retirement age and repeal Obamacare, and he's against Medicaid expansion, this is a guy that certainly doesn't reflect the progressive values of our state. So it's amazing to see the effect of dark money and how it brought people along. Not in our district, though, not in the 7th, the mighty 7th. They all went with Trump. And I think that's very interesting to watch Sean Duffy indicate that, you know, people of the North, they really like the independence of Trump. And he was very careful not to criticize Trump very much.
Apparently, we still don't have Kevin Hermanning. I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. We're going to, because I think it's important to have him as a part of this discussion, we're going to take a short break right now. We're going to take our break a little bit early, and we're going to try to reestablish with Kevin Hermanning, who is joining us by telephone. And taking us into that break, I want to let all of you know that if you'd like to join the conversation, the number is 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Or you can put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page, and I'll read it live on the air. I'm Glenn Moberg. Our guests today are Kevin Hermanning, a Republican, and Christine Bremer-Moogley, a Democrat, talking about Tuesday's election result. Here's Randy Newman with a campaign song from the 1930s.
Every man a king, every man a king, for you can be a millionaire. If there's something belonging to others, there's enough for all people to share. When it's sunny June and December too, or in the winter time or spring, there'll be peace without end, every neighbor a friend, and every man a king.
Contributors to Wisconsin Public Radio include Shep's Ice Cream and the Bremer and Trollope Law Offices. You too can help ensure the future of WPR with your business sponsorship. Find out more at wpr.org/sponsor. Support also comes from attorneys Sturgill and Long, serving the legal needs of the elderly and their families throughout Wisconsin and the Michigan Upper Peninsula. Information is at 888-613-0600.
You're walking on the back side of me, running down a way of life, or fighting and it fought and died to keep. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song that I'm singing be a warning. When you're running down my country horse, you're walking on the fighting side of me.
Well, we're all all going to miss Merle Haggard, who passed away yesterday at the age of 79 after a long career as a poet and singer for the working man. That song, Fighting Side of Me, summed up the cultural divide in the late 60s. In 1968, Republican Richard Nixon coined the phrase silent majority, which is still being used at Donald Trump rallies today. That year also featured the candidacies of Minnesota's Hubert Humphrey and Gene McCarthy, the East Coast's Robert Kennedy, and Alabama's George Corley Wallace. I'm Glenn Moberg, and today on Route 51, we're analyzing this week's Wisconsin presidential primary with Republican Kevin Hermanning and Democrat Christine Bremer Moogley. And again, if you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call at 1-800-780-9742. And we have reestablished contact with Kevin Hermanning. Kevin, before the break, we played a clip from Ted Cruz. Your impressions of his victory in the primary on Tuesday?
So, you know, the gist of it is, and Christine, at least in one area with regard to personal rights and freedom and respect for people perhaps of, let's say, the gay rights issues, as she described, Ted Cruz is probably one of the premier state rights U.S. senators in the Congress. I think that clearly central Wisconsin, which was one of the few areas of the state, did not vote with Donald Trump, even though it was outside the listening area of the conservative talk show radio talk shows in the Milwaukee area. You know, I forgot to mention that one of the other big winners would have been Charlie Sykes, of course, and the other talk show host in southeast Wisconsin. I think that, you know, clearly Ted Cruz benefited from the Never Trump or anti-Trump movement that really has picked up steam in the last 2 weeks. I would add this, though. I think that despite the fact that Ted Cruz, because of the anti-Trump movement, would have run strong in Wisconsin, without the two-week running head start and ability to take the long jump into and through Wisconsin, I'm not sure it would have been quite the decisive victory. In fact, I think Donald Trump might have been able to pull it out if it had only been a week or maybe even 3-4 days, like some of the other primary and caucus state calendar differences. As we know, Ted Cruz arrived in New York City yesterday, was greeted with what they, in the proverbial sense, call the Bronx cheer, which certainly was not a celebration.
A very ugly cover. Fact, a very ugly cover on the New York Daily News today, too, Kevin. But Trump got like 10,000 people at a rally.
So, well, you know, even at Cedar Creek, Trump got about 4,500 people, but only 2,000 people could get in.
Kevin, I want you to know I had tickets to that rally. I could have given them to you.
Well, and that's the whole thing. About a third of it's estimated that about a third of the people who went and sought tickets for the Trump rally were people who never intended to go, like Christine. And that's one of the reasons that the people who, I mean, Donald Trump, if nothing else, is certainly a master of marketing.
He's
not the first one who's done this. There's no doubt that candidates, I remember a few years ago when Dick Cheney came to town, there were many more tickets printed and given out than could actually be held at the various locations that he was in.
Right. Kevin, do you think that Scott Walker wants to be a vice presidential candidate on a Ted Cruz ticket?
I don't, and I think that it would be absolutely the wrong sentiment if Ted Cruz were fortunate enough to get the nomination. I think what a lot of people are missing is that the so-called establishment, and I wouldn't say that it's an absent crowd. It's an active, well-funded crowd, no question about it. They don't want Ted Cruz any more than they want Donald Trump. So if anybody has misconstrued the results this week to think that, let's face it, even Charlie Sykes and his crowd, Charlie Sykes and the rest of the people in Waukesha County don't want Ted Cruz either. But now he's the best of the choices because they so much don't want Donald Trump.
Let me quote Democratic pollster Jeff Guerin, who said today, Cruz would be the most extreme right-wing nominee in modern American history. He is deeply out of sync with a large majority of voters on social issues. His role in shutting down the government is anathema to most Americans. If Republicans nominate Cruz, they concede any claim to the center whatsoever.
Now, were you reading a quote from 1980 when Ronald Reagan was the candidate?
To be perfectly candid,
that's the same thing that George H.W. Bush and his crowd said about Ronald Reagan, the hick from Eureka College in Illinois, and the actor who couldn't get beyond a B-level type of quality film and couldn't finish a sentence, and he was a Barry Goldwater wannabe wanting to bomb the world back into the Middle East in particular during the time I was over in the Middle East. And suddenly they were all kissy-kissy at the convention, and Ronald Reagan selected George H.W. Bush. And let's face it, the only chance that George H.W. Bush ever had to become president was to first fall on his sword, suck it up, and say, okay, I'll agree to be VP for a few years as long as you support me when I run for president in 4 or 8 years.
I remember
that's what happened, and that's what's going to happen with if Donald Trump wins the nomination. You're going to see Marco Rubio really garner those 171 delegates in Cleveland.
Well,
I remember in 1980, a lot of my Democratic friends were really hoping Ronald Reagan won the Republican nomination,
right?
Because they thought he'd be a pushover for Jimmy Carter. So
right.
I would say, be careful what you wish for.
Well, you know, I think that's absolutely right. And when you look at what I think, Kevin, you are right on point that the Republican establishment has been transactional with regard to what they've paid to get Cruz elected in Wisconsin, because, you know, they want to slow down Trump. They don't want Trump. Trump can't beat Hillary Clinton. I mean, Trump's attack on women is never going to go away. Women are just infuriated about what he's done and what he said. And yet we've got Cruz who can't beat Trump. So, you know, we've got a situation where neither one of them is going to win. And so obviously somebody's going to step in. You don't have superdelegates, but someone, the leadership, I believe, is going to step in. And, you know, I was reading Republican literature yesterday, and there's a lot of people that are saying that there really is going to be a place for Paul Ryan, as much as he says he doesn't want it. But they're going to hold out for Paul Ryan. Cruz can't beat Trump. Trump can't win.
I think it goes to Cleveland, and Trump gets the nomination because Marco Rubio says, yes, I'm willing to step in, otherwise I'm out of politics. So therefore he's the VP.
He was seen on a plane yesterday in seat 19C going from Miami to Washington with no entourage. So, you know, this guy has gone back to private.
Let's listen to Donald Trump, recorded at that campaign rally Saturday at the Cedar Creek Convention Center in Rothschild. We heard Ted Cruz with some very glowing words about Governor Scott Walker. We will get another point of view from Donald Trump.
20% of the manufacturing jobs have left since 2000. You know where that is? Wisconsin. According to the Journal, Wisconsin chronically lags the rest of the United States in job creation. That's not what you hear. Here's what happened with Scott Walker, and I can only say this because I couldn't ask for his endorsement. I mean, what I did to that poor guy. Man. No, what I did to him. Then wages in manufacturing are stalled. Low wage, we're like a low-wage nation in Wisconsin, okay? And I've heard this, household income has had a major decline. This is Wisconsin. So, and I only say that because you have a governor that endorsed him, and people like the governor, so do I. So he gave me a plaque. I think I gave him $50,000 or $100,000. You know why? Because he was fighting. I said, give him some money, call me up, what the hell difference does it make? Here's the case. I think I gave him $50,000 or $100,000, and he ran. Now, let's say I didn't run against him, okay? And let's say I wanted something in Wisconsin. And I call him up, Governor, how you doing, Governor? Remember me, I gave you $100,000 a couple of years ago when you called. You listen, just out of curiosity, I want to build something in Wisconsin. Do you think he'd be happy about it? I think so, right? But that's the way. I mean, I don't know if it's good. I don't know if it's bad. But believe me, it's wrong.
That's Donald Trump Saturday in Rothschild. I'm not going to try to characterize that because I've got Kevin Hermaning to do it for me. Kevin?
Well, first of all, please don't call me Donald Trump's spokesman. But, you know, what is appealing is that he speaks the everyman language. I think I read Robert Menzer's column this week in the Wausau Daily Herald, and he referred to that type of language as the garage logic and garage language of Jimmy Boy Edmond, because that's what he said when he ran for office. I'm neither holding up Jimmy Boy Edmond either as somebody who everyone is going to follow, but I would just suggest this. People have underestimated Donald Trump for the last, since last June when he made his announcement. I would agree and concur that some of his comments, many of his comments have been not only brash but boorish. but he's also a strong leader, and he has a lot of support around the country. If you think about Ted Cruz, yes, he did win a real primary this week in Wisconsin, but Ted Cruz has only won the Texas and Oklahoma, which might as well be Texas, primaries, and then up in, what, Wyoming, where Donald Trump didn't even go. So the only places that Ted Cruz has won, and look at the Federal Election Commission reports, you'll see who I contributed some small money to in this campaign. But Ted Cruz has struggled to catch fire with enough people who are supporting the Republican ticket.
All right, Kevin, who did you give that money to?
I gave it to Ted Cruz back in November, but I've since described it as, in economic terms, as sunk cost, because I've concluded that he has no chance to win not only the primary, not only the nomination, but certainly the election.
Well, Donald Trump was not exactly gracious in his concession statement. Let me quote that from Tuesday night. Lion Ted Cruz had the governor of Wisconsin, many conservative talk radio show hosts, and the entire party apparatus behind him. Ted Cruz is worse than a puppet. He is a Trojan horse being used by the party bosses attempting to steal the nomination away from Mr. Trump. And again, last night at that rally in New York, he said, Lion Ted, he holds the Bible high, puts it down, and starts to lie.
I think he's right about the Trojan horse, Bishop. I really do. I think that Ted Cruz, nobody really wants him. No, everyone knows he can't win. The stuff he says is outrageous. His positions are so far to the right that this country would never elect this guy.
I don't agree with that.
Oh, I absolutely think you're wrong about that.
I just think it's the wrong time for Cruz, that's all.
No, there is no right time for Cruz, believe me. There is no Cruz time.
Well, Trump has kind of done a scorched earth thing with the other candidates. And all of them now, Jeb Bush, Marco Rubio, Carly Fiorina, and now Ted Cruz, it's almost like he's trying to turn them into damaged goods, Kevin.
You know, he also damaged Chris Christie and Ben Carson, and they've come around and they've decided to endorse his candidacy. I'm going to give it I'm still on the wait and see front to determine what's going to happen in Cleveland. I am excited to watch a civics lesson, and I'm hoping that a lot of people will watch what's going to happen in Cleveland. Christine already described the civics lesson of 2008 with regard to the superdelegates. I'm not sure that it was really all that bold, Christine, to decide to switch positions after it was an end result and everybody knew what was going to happen. It might take more moral conviction to step up and say, oh, the representative area where I particularly live at this time, maybe I should at that point get on board. So,
well, I don't think you understand the point of a superdelegate. It's not a representative role. It's a role as a party leader. But I'd like to say this about Trump. You know, I think that what we have to concede with Trump is, you know, this economic message of Bernie Sanders has caught fire across the country. And I think that Trump and even the GOP is coming along with it now. But, you know, they don't. But their economic policies, you know, fail to follow what's coming out of their mouths. The tax breaks for the rich are being proposed by Cruz are really going to impoverish the people at the lower end of the spectrum. But Trump, he takes a nod to the fact that people are hurting, and he's the only one on your side that will say that Social Security should not be cut, that the retirement age should not be raised, and that he's not going to hurt Medicare. And that is a message that really resounds with lots of folks on both sides of the aisle. And it's certainly It certainly resounds with the people in northern and central Wisconsin. 7th and 8th congressional districts are going to Trump.
Kevin?
But on those particular issues, Christine, he's absolutely wrong, because the only way are we going to default
wrong
on our debt with Bernie Sanders? Come on. The only way we're ever going to get a handle on the 19, soon to be $21 trillion U.S. debt is to start reining in our overall spending, which means everybody is going to have to pay something back to the U.S. Treasury, because even if you confiscated every dime of every person in the United States who makes over $100,000, it wouldn't come, 100,000 only. And 100,000 is a lot of money, but it's not super rich. $100,000, you wouldn't come close to putting a dent in the U.S. Treasury.
Kevin, no one in this country believes we should default on our debt. You are way out there on that.
Let's save the Social Security debate for another program. I want to get to John Kasich really quickly, because we've still got to hear from Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton. This is Mr. Kasich, recorded by Wisconsin Public Radio's Laurel White at a rally at the Coliseum Bar in Madison on Saturday.
The other thing I want to tell you is we can, in fact, come together and we can defeat these barbarians. I mean, we'll have to do it, and we need a leader who can lead the country.
Oh, yeah.
The other thing I want you to know is we want to look at the toughest problems that we have in this country. We don't play games. We don't play politics. We're not worried about re-election. We want to make sure everybody has a chance. Everybody has a chance to live their life. And a lot of it starts with jobs, because if we don't have jobs, everything else kind of falls apart. But once we have the jobs, I just believe we've got to reach out to our friends and neighbors that need a little push, a little boost, a little bit move up. And make no mistake about it, throughout my career, because, you know, some people want to label me something other than a conservative, I balanced more budgets, cut more taxes, provided more school choice, shrunk more government than all the people who are running for president times about 10.
And that's John Kasich speaking in Madison. Kevin Hermaning, polls consistently show that out of the three of them, he would be the strongest candidate you could put up. But does he realistically have a chance even in a contested convention?
Well, maybe at a contested convention, but I think, truth be told, he's the wrong man for this time. A different time, he is actually an eloquent presenter. He's just not as passionate as the voters are looking for, and he's not enough of an outsider this year. And by voters, I'm certainly talking about those on the conservative Republican side. But there are also a lot of people on the other side, the Democratic side, who are looking for an outsider, and that's why they're, in one case, one reason anyway, that they're favoring Bernie Sanders, which is ironically enough somebody who's not an outsider by most conventional terms. He's just never been on the inside, so to speak. I do want to make
Kevin, he calls himself a socialist. I mean, if that isn't an outsider in traditional American politics, I don't know what is.
Well, I'd like to say that
you're missing the fact that he's been an elected official since the age of 40, and that makes him an establishment candidate for 40 years, for crying out loud.
Yeah, like Scott Walker since he was born. But wait a minute, I have to say something about Kasich. You know, if we look at Kasich, he comes off as this really nice guy, and of course he looks like a nice guy. But he is rated 48th in the nation in terms of a governor who has passed draconian measures against women's health issues in Ohio. So talk to women in Ohio about what they're going through with regard to the laws that have been passed to take away their right to choose and the way that they decide on their own health care issues. So, you know, Kasich is no answer. Plus, if you talk to people that served with him in Congress, as I have, you know, he was a difficult guy to deal with. He was a very difficult guy to deal with when he ran appropriations and did the budget. So, you know, he's not an answer. I agree with you. He comes across as great, but no one's really checked his record. It is horrible with regard to women's health issues.
So,
women should,
you know,
stay away from
this
guy.
You know, the issues you just mentioned are important to what? Maybe a third of 1% of the population?
People
in 2016 are interested in border security, vetting migrants who are allowed into the U.S., and economic growth and stability.
Kevin, that's
and
in your
that's
mystery world.
That's what people care about in 2016 in both parties. Just one quick comment about Donald Trump's rally the other day. I was not there, but I'm very good friends with somebody who was in the front row. They had VIP tickets. And they told me that unlike any Republican event they've ever been to in the last 20 years and any Tea Party rally they've been to in the last 7 years, 90% of the people, they told me 90% of the people in that audience at Cedar Creek, at the Patriot Center, were people who've never been involved in the process ever before. They were blue collar. They were woodsmen, hunters, fishermen, people fed up with the status quo. That's what's getting behind Donald Trump.
And you see the same thing at the Bernie Sanders rally. We're going to switch to the Democrats right now. Before we do that, Christine, we've got a couple of people who want to comment on your role as a superdelegate. Maria on Facebook says, as a citizen, you have one vote to vote your choice in the voting booth, but as a superdelegate, you should listen to the voice of the people. The unity you speak of sustaining should shift with the will of the people. Bernie Sanders earned superdelegate support from Wisconsin on Tuesday. I encourage you to embrace him before the convention.
Thank you for your comments. And, you know, as I've stated before, my role is to make certain there is unity at the convention, and we will look to see who has the majority of the delegates across the nation who have been pledged after a primary.
Let's go to Ron in White Lake. Ron, you're on Route 51 with Kevin and Christine.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I would like to ask a question and maybe have your listeners look at the AP's delegate tick tracker and the Politico's delegate tracker, and do a little analysis and find out why it seems like Hillary Clinton is getting a landslide of delegates for each citizen's vote that she gets, or primary or caucus vote. But this does not include the 470 superdelegates that have already gone her way. This is just in addition to the general thing. In some cases, she's tied Bernie Sanders or won by just a couple of percent, but she gets something like 50% more delegates from that state. And again, this does not include the superdelegates. I encourage everybody to go out there and see what this process is really like. I'll take my answer off the air, and thank you very much.
Christine, this seems directed at you.
Right. Well, you know, I think that people, the allowing of delegates and the awarding of delegates is something that's run by each party according to each party's rules, and each party is different. The delegates awarded in the Democratic Party are almost never winner takes all. They are proportionately elected, just as they are in Wisconsin on the Republican side with regard to our congressional districts. So although Ted Cruz took the state, Donald Trump will take the delegates from the 7th CD, and he will take half of them, and he'll take half of the delegates from the 8th CD. So delegates are awarded proportionately by the parties based on party rules. And those rules are what is being followed. What you have to keep in mind is the total delegate count for Hillary Clinton right now is 1,280. The total delegate count for Bernie Sanders right now is 1,030. That is without the superdelegates, which will not be voting until the convention. So keep it in mind.
And
could I just make a quick comment on that?
Yes, you can.
So I completely agree with Christine's analysis and assessment, 100% in this area, with regard to the caller's question. I would just say that some folks, when you use the words party unity, some people would prefer to have the super delegates follow perhaps party integrity. And that's where this caller, who of course I have no idea who he is, that's where this caller's position is coming down. That's all. And party integrity might suggest that you take a stand in support of the people where you live. That's what we do in a representative republic.
There are four superdelegates in the state of Wisconsin. We are not elected by our geographical zone. We are elected as just individuals, and we are elected at the convention before the convention that we're serving at. So
but
I was elected.
Case,
well, let me finish. Let me
whole,
finish.
In this case, then, what you're saying, the whole geography, if it is, I understand it's not a 7th district, for example, but the whole geography would suggest that all four of you then should be supporting Bernie Sanders because, of course, he won the whole state.
That is an argument made, but the whole point of the superdelegates is to make certain at the end of the convention, at the time of the convention, that if there is a fight between two parties or two individuals, that the superdelegates can step in and support the will of the majority. And that's what we'll do.
Last week in Wisconsin, Hillary Clinton was quite critical of both Donald Trump and Ted Cruz for comments they made about Muslims, which she says are hurting the United States in our fight against ISIS and making us less safe at home. Here's Hillary Clinton recorded at Wisconsin Public Radio's by Wisconsin Public Radio's Rich Kramer at a rally on Saturday in Eau Claire.
And I'm worried about what I hear coming out of both Donald Trump and Ted Cruz. With respect to Donald Trump, his language has reverberated around the world. And when he says, keep Muslims out of America, a country like ours founded on religious liberty, when he insults NATO and our Asian allies by saying basically we're going to walk away, he's putting at risk the coalition of nations we need to defeat ISIS. He's basically making our situation worse and more dangerous around the world. What Ted Cruz has said makes us less safe at home. You know, his assertion that we should be religiously profiling American Muslims and having special police patrols in their neighborhoods, I have no idea how you'd ever do that, but that is what he has said, runs counter to everything we learned in New York after 9/11. What Cruz would have us do is to tell the people who are most likely to have access to the best information, you're not wanted. We don't trust you. We don't need you. That makes the job of our police a lot harder.
Your reaction, Kevin Hermaning, and for those of you who are listening who don't know Kevin's background, he spent 444 days as a hostage at the U.S. Embassy in Iran. He is quite concerned about radical Islamic terrorism because of that. Is Hillary Clinton right? Are Ted Cruz and Donald Trump hurting us in the war on terror?
Well, you know, I appreciate the additional introduction to your listeners, but I would say that virtually everybody I know, again, virtually everybody I know, is concerned about the spread of radical Islamic terrorism, and I can assure you everybody I know wasn't in Iran with me. So it's not because I was in Iran that I have that concern about the spread of radical Islamic terrorism. I understand that she is a highly credentialed candidate for president of the United States. I understand that she served as the Secretary of State for the United States of America. I absolutely respect the position and the fact that she was able to get selected and nominated and voted in for that position. But I would say this. I don't think she knows what she's talking about in this area. I don't think she at all is right about not being able to get the coalition of the nations that we need to fight this scourge of Islamic fundamentalism and terrorism. We're already seeing across Europe, including Chancellor Merkel and the rest of the Eastern or the European Union, putting the migrants back onto boats. It's happening during this conversation on the radio right now, sending them back to Turkey and paying Turkey big bucks to put them in camps once they arrive on the shores in Turkey, because there are too many unwanted migrants arriving in Europe. And as far as Ted Cruz is concerned and his wanting to, quote, patrol Muslim neighborhoods, she ought to know when she was the U.S. senator, gotten back to her state of New York, if she had only done some homework, met with the police chief, met with the mayor of New York City, that is exactly what they were doing in New York City, and it worked very, very well when we were trying to get the See Something, Say Something movement off the ground in the U.S.
Kevin, I got to cut you off. Christine, you've got a quick response here, and then we've got to take a break, and then we'll get to Bernie Sanders.
You can say a lot of things about Hillary Clinton, and you may not agree with all of her positions, but there is no one that would say that she is unschooled in the issues of foreign policy or that does not understand the rights of people with regard to our constitutional freedoms. And that is what Ted Cruz is attacking her for. This woman is our Secretary of State. She is highly qualified. What she's talking about, Ted Cruz's draconian positions that we want to patrol United States citizens and we want to watch them to see if they're commingling with other Muslims. This is outrageous. So we cannot follow with this.
I'm Glenn Moberg. You're listening to analysis of this week's Wisconsin primary election with Republican Kevin Hermaning and Democrat Christine Bremer Moogley. We will be back after this. Here's Frank Sinatra.
K-E-N-N-E-D-Y. Jack's the nation's favorite guy.
Everyone wants to back Jack. Jack is on the right track, 'cause he's got high hopes. He's got high hopes. 1960's the year for his high hopes. Come on and vote for Kennedy.
Supporters of Wisconsin Public Radio include the Edward J. Okray Foundation, the Spring Green Chamber, and Present Music. Your business can join our ever-growing list of contributors. More information at wpr.org/sponsor. Support also comes from the Lucille Tax Center in Spencer, presenting the musical group Riders in the Sky, April 10th at 7, with a salute to the movies and music of Roy Rogers, King of the Cowboys. LucilleTaxCenter.com.
I'm Glenn Moberg. We're back on Route 51 Regional Talk Radio with political analysis from Christine Bremer-Moogley and Kevin Hermaning. We are, as I was worried about, running a little bit short on time here. So here's Bernie Sanders, who won that Democratic primary in Wisconsin, speaking at the Grand Theater in Wausau. He was introduced by Mick Isham, who is the chairman of the Lukuturi tribe of Chippewa Indians.
Did you all see that little Tweety bird land on the podium when Bernie was speaking? In our culture, birds are considered messengers. They fly up high, and they're the closest living things to the Great Spirit, or as many people call them, God. To us, that symbolizes that Bernie was given a message or a mission from above.
We owe a debt of gratitude to the first Americans that we can never repay. They have taught us that we are a part of nature. That for this planet to survive, we have got to live with nature, not destroy nature. Bottom line is that the debate is over. Climate change is real. Climate change is caused by human activity and is already causing devastating harm in our country and around the world. That's a fact.
Reaction to Senator Sanders' appeal to the tribes of Wisconsin and also his strong comment on climate change and environmental protection. Christine, first you, then Kevin.
Well, having Mick Isham there was a big treat, and having 1,800 people lining up around the Grand Theater to see this, to see Senator Sanders, was an incredible showing of support. The little Tweety bird riding on his podium when he was out on the West Coast made everyone's heart stop. I think that, Senator Sanders comes with a very strong message to the Native people. And if the Native people can come together and be involved in this election, it would be fantastic. And I really give a lot of credit to Mick and other leaders such as John Greendeer and other members of the other tribes to bring the Native people together. And for Senator Sanders to address this very important issue of global warming in such a definitive way was a great message. I know that Senator Clinton feels Secretary Clinton feels the same way.
Kevin Hermaning?
Well, I liked Christine's move back into the phrase global warming rather than climate change, which is like the new mantra these days. But at least that's the way we see it from the conservative side, Christine.
Yeah, I know.
And even the president of the United States had a few weeks ago described climate change as or global warming, whatever it is, as the greatest threat to America and of the world. And now I think he's describing Donald Trump that way. So, Senator Sanders definitely has hit a chord with a lot of people who feel that they've been economically challenged. I think it's silly. I am absolutely amazed and a little bit mesmerized by the idea that, we could possibly add tens of trillions of dollars of additional debt to our federal treasury and think we could ever grow out of that. It would just, or even tax enough to make it happen. There will never be completely free college education in the United States and all the other things that Bernie Sanders wants. So it's pie in the sky, particularly to a lot of people who are very idealistic and haven't applied for their first jobs yet.
Kevin, we've got to touch very quickly on the Supreme Court race in Wisconsin. Scott Walker's handpicked Justice Rebecca Bradley easily defeating Joanne Kloppenburg, who picked up the endorsements of both Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. Moreover, Bradley won, even though Kloppenburg had most, if not all, of the newspaper endorsements. Most of the attorneys in Wisconsin were behind her, and there was all of that negative publicity regarding the terrible things she said about gay people and AIDS victims when she was a student at Marquette. How did the liberals lose that race, Christine?
Well, I think that they're, it's tragic. And when you say Rebecca Bradley easily beat Joanne Kloppenburg, I absolutely disagree with you.
It's 5 or 6 percentage points.
It might be, but it wasn't. The only thing that was easy for her, she went and hid after she got outed for her horrible comments. But, really, this was a transactional election. She sat back and enjoyed four to one to five to one advantage in terms of dark money and money being spent in her campaign.
All right, we got to hold it there, Kevin Hermaning. You've got 15 seconds.
I think Bernie Sanders is under that same aura from Hillary Clinton. But, you know, Rebecca Bradley has already ruled, although she has a very short record as a justice, based on the state constitution, not based on her personal appeal or opinions, I should say.
All right. Thanks so much. Thanks to our guest political analysts, Republican Kevin Hermaning and Democrat Christine Bremer-Moogley. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to Rick Ryer and Jane Ritger. Thanks to Wisconsin Public Radio's Rich Kramer, Patty Murray, and Laurel White for their assistance with this program. Special music today by the Rolling Stones, Randy Newman, Merle Haggard, Frank Sinatra, and Neil Young. You Can't Always Get What You Want, recorded at Donald Trump's rally at Cedar Creek. Rockin' in the Free World, recorded at the Bernie Sanders rally at the Grand Theater in Wausau. Next Thursday on Route 51, our guest is Democratic U.S. Congressman Ron Kind, who represents Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District. Thanks for riding along with us today. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin, and until next week, we are heading out of town.